Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy draw me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through.
Everybody, everywhere, coming to you from the Central Street Church of Christ in Smyrna, Georgia. We're just so happy to have you on our program today. I know there may be some on this program who may be in the hospital, in hospice, or you may have some friends that's sick, or even you may be just well. When I mean well, you may just be, today just be a good day for you. prayer, we pray sometime in a crucial situation. And it seems like we always pray whenever some kind of a tragedy happens. But I want to encourage you, when you just get up feeling, I mean, show enough good, thank the Lord. Give him the praise and give him the honor and the glory. And don't, just because it's like some people who take different pills and everything. And when they're feeling better, they actually stop taking pills, and then they get worse, and then they be trying to figure out why. Because the pill actually keep you balanced. It has to stay in your system consistently to make everything work. And that's the same way it is with prayer. Prayer has to stay in your system consistently to make it work. So that means you have to pray for all occasions. That means you have to find time to pray for everything that's going on in your life, and maybe some of them that's going on in somebody else's life. I remember when I looked in the book of Job, Job talked about that he prayed for his children lest they do something ignorant and offend the Lord. And so that's what we have to do. And matter of fact, I've known grandmamas. Most of us are here today because of our grandmama's prayer. If it hadn't been for their prayer, boy, we would be in bad shape. They prayed for us. And oftentimes the parents used to say, boy, it ain't much I can do with you. I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. And, of course, that was the worst thing you could ever be done. But anyway, because we were really being stupid at the time. But prayer really changes things. The song that was sung just a while ago is a very beautiful song, Your Grace and Mercy. I want to ask you a question as we give you a call back to worship, And when I say call back to worship, after the pandemic, you know, we've been in the house and we've been in the hotels and we've been different places trying to make this thing work. And when you go back to worship, I want you to concentrate basically somewhat on the songs that's been sung. Listen to the words of the songs that's been sung in our worship. That's one place where we have not spent a lot of time is in our singing. Now I don't agree with singing a song in the last 35, 40 minutes, one song. I know some churches that do. They just sing the same verse over and over and over and over again. And I'm thinking that's just a little bit stretch of the imagination. That's just a little bit much. But I'm talking about just when you're really singing a song, I want to encourage you to get back involved in the singing. When you get ready to go back to church, I know most of us go back. Well, the communion is the most important. I'm going to give you a shout out right now. The communion is not the most important. And some preachers think that they're the most important, that you come to church just to hear them. I appreciate that. I take all the kudos I can on that. But I just want you to know that I'm not the most important part in that service. And I've heard preachers say when some guys get up to do the communion, we've come down to the most important part of our service. I said, that's not the most important part. All of what we do in service is the most important part. And singing is one of them. In the book of Hebrews, I hate to break your bubbles on that, but I'd like to think that me preaching every Sunday was the highlight of that day, but it is not. The whole worship is. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't run into the church. You shouldn't get out of your car and run into the church because communion is first and you're going to miss it. You shouldn't run into the church because you're thinking, well, now the preacher's getting up and I don't want to miss him. No, you are running church because of that very first song that's been sung. When the song is announced and the song began, you ought to be sitting in your pew, not coming in. I know some people, because some churches have one song before the service or two songs before prayer, this, that, and that. I know some people, I mean, this is not something that I heard. This is something that I see when I'm preaching and people coming in. They miss the whole entire song service, miss the whole entire song. Come in at 10:15, 10:30. Come dragging in, all thinking that you're going to be on time for some of the preaching, and especially be in time for the communion, and then you're given. You've had 7 raises since you've been in the church, and the church has not had a raise yet. You're still giving the same $10 that you gave when you first obeyed the gospel, and that is a sin. Something is wrong with that. You've already been promoted. You've got 7 raises, and you haven't paid no attention to your giving. Your giving ought to be increased as well. And your communion, you just take it like a fly-by-night kind of a thing. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15, he says, by him let us offer up sacrifices of praises continually unto God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We're not supposed to be plucking play. Now, that's another whole subject on instrumental music and worship. But I do know that we are to sing praises unto the Lord. And the songbook is just full of songs. And when I'm thinking about singing, and I'm thinking about the church, God's house is a house of worship. God's house is a house of singing. And God's house is a house of salvation. The Old Testament concept of worship was the act of adoration, using all forms of posture. And, of course, we know that God is not concerned basically with the posture today. Like we said, that he bound the content in the communion, but he loosed the cup. We used to have that one cup of things I saw. And prayer, most people said, well, you got to be on your knees. No, you don't have to be on your knees. He bound the prayer, but he loosed the posture. And so, but I remember when people used to kneel. Some of our older men would kneel down beside the pew when they was asking the prayer. They'd stand up, walk outside the pew, and kneel down. And then some who was already in the pulpit, they would turn to the chair, the seat that was up there, and they would bow down and pray. The only hang up for that was the audience couldn't hear the prayer, basically, that we didn't know that he was finished praying until he actually stood up. The posture. In the New Testament concept of worship, we worship is a reverence paid unto a divine being. Our worship is based upon awe and devotion. In John 4, verses 19 through 24, he said, worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8, he said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell with them. There have been various spots to worship the Lord. Of course, we know in the Old Testament it was an altar worship, and in the Old Testament it was the tabernacle worship, and now in the New Testament it is the Christian worship, and it is in the house of God. It is in the body of Christ or the church of Christ. And let me just mention a couple of things to you about this singing that I want you to really get involved in when you go back to church. Get out of your cars and go inside and sit there for the first worship. Now, I know some of you can sing alto, soprano, bass, and tenor, baritone, all that kind of stuff. But then there's some people in our church that just don't have no category. They just sing also. They don't, and of course you're justified by that because the Bible says just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But there are some people who can sing in harmony, and we are interested. And a lot of, as a matter of fact, a lot of churches are held together, unfortunately. No, well, not unfortunately. I'm going to take it way back. A lot of churches have been held together in the past with singing groups. If it wasn't for the singing groups, the church would not be held together. I know some singing groups that had like 175 or maybe 200 people in it, and they fellowshipped and they went everywhere. They went all over the country. We used to have one of them things where you meet once a year in a different place, all over about 15 different places. It wouldn't come back to your church for 15 years. And I understand all that. And some churches was held together by the singing group. But be more conscious about your singing, like Sing to Me of Heaven, or Heaven Came Down, or When We All Get to Heaven, or This World Is Not My Home, or How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. Let me just mention just quickly about a couple of things about this singing, what singing is not. Singing is not crowd control. I've been asked over the years, Brother Bradshaw, can you sing a song so we can get everybody to settle down? Basically, that song ain't for that. That song right there has just as much praise in it as the rest of the songs that we're going to sing. But they say, yeah, sing a song so we can get everybody to settle down and everything. And then secondly, the song is not a feeling song. Like putting you're going to have a baptism, or the brethren need to have a conversation with one another. You know how we do. They'd be up there talking, and they say, just sing us a verse of a song. Over the years, I have gotten so sick of singing a verse of a song. Sing us one verse. They act like the singing ain't a part of the worship at all. It's just barely in there. And then the preacher gets up and preaches for an hour and 30 minutes as if that's the whole thing. Then you got people who come just for the communion. We put that everywhere in the service, first, middle, back, ends. We tried everywhere. so we can get people to come to church. But it's not crowd control, and it is not a fill-in song, and it's not just a song before prayer. Well, before we have our prayer, we're going to sing a verse of a song. I'm sick of verses of a song. That song got three verses in it, and every verse is an impact verse. And when you sing, when you're looking in the book sometime and you're singing a song, look at how I can I got the song book is full of some songs that you could sing about four or five songs and then extend the invitation. That's how powerful many of these songs are. And so song is just singing is just as important as our preaching. Just as important as our praying, is just as important as our communion, and it's just as important as our giving. One says, "Sing to me of heaven, the song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing soul. Showers of great blessings o'er my heart." Will flow. Oh, that's a powerful verse right there. And saying to me of heaven, as I walk along, dreaming of the countries that so long have gone, in a fairer region among the angel stone, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven. Sing to me of heaven. let me follow dream of a golden glory. Sing to me of heaven. That's a beautiful psalm. And then, of course, the last verse says, sing to me of heaven. Sing to me tenderly and low, till the shadows over me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when my day is long, sing to me of heaven. Sing that old sweet song. I'm telling you, I'm just done told you that song right there will set your day off. Sing to me of heaven. And then when he says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. And I've always loved that last verse. Of course, I like all four verses, but the last verse says, oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. That song, both of these songs right here, will set your day off. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again. And as you go back to worship, be there for that first song. Sing the song. And if you're going to sing, use the song book. If you're not going to use the song book, sing the song right. Know the song. If you're not going to sing with a book, sing the song correctly. Father, we thank you for this day, for your mercy, for your grace. Grant us this beautiful day. We're going to do all we can to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, and have a super-duper week.